God, we are just so thankful we can come here and just worship you and look into your word and just see the things you have to speak to us, and even think we are able to share in this nice, cool breeze coming through the sanctuary. We thank you for that. And Lord, I just pray you would really speak to us this morning, and that you would touch us in a deep way that would just stir in our hearts, that would change our lives, and that, God, we could just call upon you and just be encouraged by what you're telling us and how you're guiding us. I pray you anoint me to speak words of the Spirit, and you would just open each heart to receive of the Spirit. So we give thanks to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right, we're going to look at, okay, Hebrews, starting Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. And the title of the message is Faith. Faith. In fact, we're going to spend probably the next two Sundays after this, maybe three Sundays after, on faith. So we're going to get a dose of faith during the next few weeks. So it says in Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verse 1, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Faith. Now, Hebrews 11 is, you could really call this is a standalone chapter, okay? I mean, it's one of these chapters that could be a standalone chapter. You say, hey, I want to read about faith, and I think if you had people been walking with the Lord a long time, you'd say, where'd I go? You'd go, Hebrews 11. I mean, it's kind of well known, and it's, you know, it's, and just so if you want to just sit down and read it and see about faith, and it's encouraging, okay? So it could be, you know, like I say, it could be a good standalone. But I just want to share, it's not a standalone. It is not a standalone. And I think to challenge us to the depth of what this chapter is saying and where it's located in Hebrews, it gives us a little more substance in our faith. And one of the things that, as I was studying for it and thinking about this week, and now this is just personal. You know, I always like when this is a Wally statement, so you can take it or leave it. But when I talk to somebody and they say, well, just have faith, I think it's the worst thing you can say to anybody. That's terrible. Yeah. Well, how do I do that? Well, just have faith. Just trust. Get on your bed and put your hands together and pray and grunt and stay up all night and just get it. Just get it. Have it. Just grunt. And that's not faith. See, but when you tell them, well, just have faith. Well, what's that? What is that? And, you know, somebody real pious, well, I just have faith and I trust. Well, what? You know, I mean, it can be really, my opinion, very, very damaging. Very damaging to the Christian life. But what we have here in Hebrews, well, in the chapter of Hebrews, so like again, it can stand alone. The information is all there. But in the book of Hebrews, what you have a whole context of giving where there's an understanding of faith, and you see that you're standing on the absolute rock of faith, and there can be unbelievable security in that, in it, the way the Bible presents it. So that's what we want to look at this morning. And in the next couple of weeks about faith. So here we have the faith chapter, you know, powerful verse 1. So powerful, I'll read it again. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. So where this is located, we know that in Hebrews, in Hebrews 10:38, just before this, we're told that the righteous should live by faith. So here's the introduction to this chapter. Okay, the righteous should live by faith, and this is faith. You know, oh my goodness. But when you look at the whole picture, Hebrews 10:38 says we should live by faith, but per Hebrews chapters 1 through 10, all of Hebrews 1 through 10, Our faith is based entirely on Jesus. See, that's the key. Our faith is based entirely on Jesus. Why? Just have faith. Well, where are they at? What are you talking about? What is their understanding? You know, or that you just tell them to try hard? Or have you introduced them to Jesus and what Jesus has done for them and the power of Jesus so that they could have some comprehension of what they're supposed to stand on? You see? And that's what Hebrews 1 through 10 does. It tells you here, what have we learned in Hebrews 1 through 10? We've learned about Jesus. I mean, we have learned the depth of Jesus, the meat of the Word, and how the Old Testament is all around Jesus, where the whole Bible is about Jesus and who Jesus is and what He did. And some of it has just been a little overwhelming. Amen? And so we have that, and now He goes, trust it. That's where the faith came. Faith came after chapters 1 through 10. See? Don't put a curse on somebody that's not familiar with chapters 1 through 10. Because if you keep people that are not aware of 1 through 10, you're putting a curse on them. You're telling them to do something they can't do. They have no concept how to do it. You see what I'm saying? Now, of course, I'm saying here, you don't have to know exactly, like this is the only book in the Bible and that's the only chapters you need to know. I'm just talking about, in Hebrews, this is where it is. I mean, we've got all the other epistles and powerful things about faith there. But as we focus on Hebrews, so when we see this statement of faith, Jesus is saying, now, I told you about who I am, what I did, and how I came through, that you should just be totally blown away, all right? Now, based on what you know, walk in it. And when you walk in it, based on what you know about who Jesus is and what Jesus is, and you're totally sold out on Jesus. See, you don't get faith to get sold out on Jesus. You get sold out on Jesus, and then you get faith. You see what I'm saying? Just don't get the cart before the horse. And that's what it's saying here. It's saying here, per Hebrews chapters 1 through 10, our faith is based entirely on Jesus. You cannot have biblical faith without Jesus and without a commitment to Jesus. Have a ho-hum view of Jesus, then you're going to have a ho-hum faith. Do you see what I'm saying? It is one's relationship with Jesus that determines faith. And that's what Hebrews 1 through 10 says. And he goes, now you got Jesus, I'm going to tell you about faith. Believe. Yeah, believe. So, what we see here, the foundation of faith, the foundation of faith, as we embrace Jesus and what He has done for us, we have confidence and assurance of our salvation and eternal life with Him. How do I know I'm going to heaven? Because of what I know about Jesus. How do I know there's eternity? Because of what I know about Jesus. See, now I'm going to step out. Because there's a heaven? No, because I know Jesus. Now I'm going to step out believing there's eternity. Just because I think things never end. No, it's because I believe on Jesus. So my whole view of the whole world is changed because I believe on Jesus. He goes, walk in it. I've told you. What He's done is unimaginable. Unimaginable what God has done. See, and we start gripping, getting a hold of the unimaginable of Jesus, then we have some comprehension of faith. You see? So it's, and then two, people that don't know Jesus, oh, I just have faith. Now they're just blowing smoke. They may be dependent on their own abilities or whatever or whatever or whatever. It's not faith. Because you have to have Jesus to have faith. Have to have Jesus to have faith. So, Our faith is based on this revealed truth. That's what our faith is on, the revealed truth of Jesus. That's why we have faith. We know Jesus, all right? And therefore, because we know Jesus, we have faith. And this is what we expect. Because I know Jesus, I expect go to heaven. Because I know Jesus, I expect to participate in eternal life. Because I know Jesus, I expect from Him to do things. See? Now here's a word, here's a little insert of this. In this verse, you'll notice the word hope. See that word hope? It says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for. And when I read it as speaking English, you know, it's like, oh my goodness, I have confidence, and I just hope he does what he says he does. I just hope he does. The literal word for hope, most any place you look in the New Testament, the literal word for hope that's used here is expect. It's expect, E-X-P-E-C-T. It's expect. For the life of me, I do not know why they don't translate it as expect. Maybe it's hope and expectation. Well, just give me the expectation and I drag the hope along. You know, the word literally means hope. So I'm just encouraging you. And by the way, you go look it up. It's expect and hope. Okay, but it's hope expecting it to be done. It's going to happen. It's a going to happen deal. So I do encourage you, when you, New Testament, you see the word hope, just put inspect. Now to me, it just makes more sense. And you have no, because there's something we expect and God's going to do it. We have confidence because we expect something to happen. Amen? Faith, you expect something to happen. Oh, maybe God, whatever. There's no expectation. No, I expect God to do something. So anyway, put inspect there, and that changes the whole verse to me. It literally means expect. Therefore, we have assurance. Therefore, we, when God tells us something, therefore we have an assurance in what we don't see. You see what's put there? You have an expect, okay? It's something we don't see. Now that puts a whole new thing on faith. Well, I'm going to do this. I did this and this, and I have faith because I did this and this, and we'll go. It's no, faith is when you don't see it. God told you, and you don't see it. That's faith. The rest of it's working hard or doing something, or following God's rules, and you know, and expecting Him to, you know, bless your good efforts, or you know. We have assurance in something we don't see. We can't even have real good faith because we don't see it. We can't see it. Or He tells us something, He says, I don't see that. Okay, God, maybe you think so, but I don't see this. Okay, now this is what, all this is stuck in this one verse. Again, now faith is confidence in what we expect and assurance about what we don't see. Oh, I can just see it. That's not faith. I mean, God may show you, and you trust because you see it. You know, He told you, you know, and that's certainly an element of faith. But what's talking about here when it says, you don't see it. You just don't. I don't see it. See? Now, so we have an assurance in what we do not see. And so what we have here is faith recognizes the reality of the unseen and allows decisions to be governed by that reality. But how? I don't see it. Well, you don't see it, but God told you. I'm going to heaven when I die. I don't see it. But I know it's going to happen. Why do I know it's going to happen? Because God told me. I know it. See? And so what? Because I know that, because God told me, although I don't see that, I know I'm going to heaven, that impacts the decisions I make today. You see? Oh, here we got a group meeting, and God bless them. I love them. We got a family right across our street. I love their health, their celebrations. Got more lights than you can imagine. They're Hindu, you know. It's like, but no, that's not what it is. That's not what God said. I'm not judging anybody. I mean, God bless them. I'm not judging anybody. I just know what God told me And I expect to happen because that's what Jesus said. Faith is circled around Jesus. Y'all with me? So these words are really important. And so, again, I repeat this. Faith recognizes the reality of the unseen. It's like, I've seen Jesus, you know. Well, now, I hadn't physically seen him, but he has communicated to me in the presence of what he said, you know. And so I have total confidence in what I don't see. It's an unseen. My confidence, my Christian faith is confidence in the unseen. Is the unseen. And so, and you go, oh my gosh, you know, well, how do you function? How do you go? It's unseen. How? Hebrews 1 through 10. He told us everything. He told us everything. He said, okay, now you understand that. You hadn't seen it, but you have to believe the unseen. And you have to expect and know that I'm going to do everything I said, even though you don't see it. That's the reason chapter 11 comes after chapter 10. He didn't start out with chapter 11. He have faith, and I'll explain this to you. You know? Say, God, I want to know you, what you say. And I'm going to struggle through Hebrews. Some of you even struggle through Hebrews with me, you know. That which probably made it even worse, you know. Just like, what in the world? But then it's like, okay, wow, who Jesus is, the power of God. Oh, Lord, I believe what you told me. But I don't see it. I don't see it, but I believe it. And God goes, walk in that belief. You don't see it, walk in it. And says, then what you do in your walk in it, you make faith a reality. And as we walk in it, as we make faith a reality, God comes in and verifies our faith. You see what? And so we got the whole thing together. Now again, I go back to this. You tell some poor, oh, just have faith. Don't do that. Don't do that. I mean, if you want to help them, say, hey, we're going to come move in our house and we'll feed you and clothe you and take care of you. Okay, that's good. If do that before you tell them to have faith. You see what I'm saying? So we see this like, this is so fascinating. This is so fascinating when we look at this, at what God's saying. And then, so this faith in what God has told us. Now again, to have faith, we need to know what God said, right? You got to have faith in something. Well, you have faith in what God says. You just don't see it. You don't see it. And he's showing us that. And so we base our life on things we don't see. In the Christian life, we don't see it. We base our decisions on the unseen. Okay? You know what? Paul just truncated, he made a shorter sentence out of this. The Apostle Paul said this, and I didn't put an overhead up. We don't need an overhead for this one. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:7, he says, we live by faith, not by sight. Golly, he just took care of this whole book. We live by faith and what? Besides, what does that mean? We don't see it. We know it, but we don't see it. How can you do that? You don't see it. Why do you do that? You don't see it. Because God told me. And I believe what he says. Well, what did he tell you, and what do you believe? Well, to summarize it, Hebrews chapter 1 through 10. I believe it. I believe. You know, this came to mind. This came to mind. It was funny, this first time it came to mind. I shared with you about my father, and God love him. Never went to church. Never, you know, just raised out on a ranch, cowboy, just, you know, and stuff, and just make a long story short. And I shared the gospel with him all the time. And he didn't have a problem with it. He would just ask me questions I couldn't answer. And I just, you know, I mean, he'd have me question my own faith by the time I quit talking to him. I'd, what? And I don't know, you know. And so, but anyway, the Lord worked it out, and I went out to see him in New Mexico, flew out, I knew he was going to die, flew out for the main purpose to share the gospel with him, you know. And so out there 2 weeks with him, and the Lord never did give me an opportunity. And then just before I was going to go, about an hour before I left, we're out on the swing, and I'm not going to tell you all the details, and we're talking, and the Lord told me, now he said, now, that's all he said, and I knew it was the Lord. Now, and so I said, could I share you what I believe and stuff, but you know, and he said, yeah, go ahead. And so I shared it with him, and he's listening, he asked a few questions. So, and his wife came up, and she says, okay, and I got the car, I got to leave. And so I said, oh my gosh, you know, and I'm standing at the car, and he gives me a hug, and he says this. He says, you know, when we're talking, I said, yeah. He goes, I believed what you told me. What do you see? I mean, I've been talking to him for 20 years, you know. See, but that's what he said. I believed what you told me. I take that to the bank. That's it. That's it. Unseen. No question in his mind. Nothing happened. We was on the swing. We were just on the swing. Could I share with you? Yeah. You believe in the unseen, what God tells you. Somehow, when God said now, God told him. You see? I just did what he said, and then now, and he said, then God did it. See? God did it. Now, faith, although directed to future realities, gives us confidence in the present. You see, you have faith, you're going to heaven. You have faith that you're forgiven. Then it affects you today. If you believe it, and you believe you have this faith because of what Jesus did. You know Jesus. You know Jesus. So, faith is our day-to-day living reality. Hebrews said, the righteous shall live by faith. By faith. So that means we have assurance today based on what God told us that we don't see. But we're trusting, we're walking in it. Although we can't see it. Now, there are things we see and things we do and things we carry out to do because we know God said to. I mean, don't get me wrong. But it's making the faith, it's taking the extreme on faith. It's something, believing something we don't see. Faith is our day-to-day living reality, which is what Hebrews 10:38 say. Now, let me paraphrase this verse. Okay, faith, through its active character, gives substance to the reality of things expected. And it demonstrates the truth of things not yet seen. We have confidence expecting God to act on our behalf. So important. We have confidence expecting God to act on our behalf. Now, some people have a problem with that, but this is what this is. All about through this faith, you're going to see how God acted on these people's behalf. They believed and he acted. They believed and he acted. More like he spoke, they believed and he acted. They spoke, he believed and they acted. And so this is what, but on the examples he gives, he goes, they didn't see it. He spoke, they believed, couldn't see it, and he acted. See? So the whole thing, what he's bringing here where we can understand it. And so he gives us an introduction where he's going. He said, I'm going to explain this to you. I'm going to help you out. And look what it says in Hebrews 11:2. See, what I'm telling you here, about this faith is a confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we don't see. Here it is. See, Hebrews 11:2. Faith is what the ancients were commended for. All these people in the Bible, oh man, this is why they were commended. This, they They believed what they didn't see. They believed in the unseen. Now, God did great things through him, you know, but they believed in the unseen. And we'll get through this next week, but it just comes to mind now. I'm just going to bring it up. It's like you believe. It says Abraham, who's used as a man of faith all through the New Testament by the Apostle Paul, and it says God spoke to Abraham, and he says, by the way, you don't have any kids right now, but you're going to have more kids than all the stars in the heavens. Could Abraham see that? I mean, you're like, get out of here. In fact, that's what Sarah did say. Like, get out of here. See, Abraham, you're going to have, it doesn't make any difference. You're 90 years old. You're going to have kids more than all the stars in the sky. And it says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. How was he righteous? Because he believed God. Not what he did, because he believed God. Now, Paul takes this very same thing about trusting Jesus. He says, just like Abraham, when I tell you about Jesus, you believe God, and it's accounted to you as righteousness, like Abraham. You see, same thing. It's the same belief Abraham had and we have. Same belief. So here's this picture we have. Now, so what we see in chapter 11 are these biblical people who live by faith. It's a magnificent chapter on great heroes of the faith that who had their hearts set upon and their lives controlled by a great unseen reality. I'm going to read that again. Do you hear what I said? That's amazing when you think about it. So who were these people? They had faith and their hearts were set upon and their lives were controlled by a great unseen reality. Abraham, stars, you don't have that many kids. Show me something. I can't see that. I can't see that. But it controlled Abraham's life. He believed what he couldn't see because God told him. He believed God. See, faith is like, I'll conjure up something I want to, I don't even know what to conjure up here. You know, I want to buy a new car. We talk about buying a new car. I just want to buy a new car. And I'm just going to have faith. And I'm just going to, and I want to buy a new car. It's like that. That's not faith. There's no part of faith in that. There's too much I in that. See, there's too much I in that. I want a new car, you know, and just have faith. Well, God's not going, what are you talking about? I didn't tell you nothing about a new car. And he's telling you to have faith. I didn't say nothing about it. You need me to say something about it. And then you have faith in what I told you. See, there's a difference. You see what I'm saying here? And so that's all he's saying right here. This is all he's, and said what these people did is like Abraham. Look at that. You have all these kids. Get out of here. But you know what? Abraham did the same thing my dad did. Abraham did the same thing my dad did. He goes, I believed what you told me. Same, it's God. That's how God's work. That is faith. And these people in this chapter of faith, their life was controlled by the unseen reality because God told them and they believed God. See, Jesus has to be the center of this or you can't have any faith to do anything. Right? Can't. I mean, based on what this says. And in order to encourage us to have faith in the unseen, right? He wants to encourage us to have faith in the unseen, and that's the ability of God to bring something out of nothing. God reminds us of something that only God could know and only God could do and cannot be humanly proved. Okay, now, if you followed me on what I said there, God's telling us, he says, it's unseen, I told you, and it's unseen, and I can do it. Because even though it's unseen, I can make it happen. See, like that. He said, trust me, I can make it happen. Told Abraham, God, Abraham, I can make it happen. Okay, God, you can make it happen. I trust you because that's what you told me. See, and so what God says, now I'm going to give you an example so you will trust me. That I can bring something out of nothing. I'm gonna give you an example so you'll trust me. And this is this note I said here. So God is gonna show us to have faith in the unseen. He said, I want to show you how to have faith in the unseen, all right? And having faith in the unseen is having a faith that God has the ability to bring something out of nothing. See? That God will show us something that only God could know. And he's going to show us something that only God could do. And not only God could do it, it's impossible for any human to do it. Now, God's going to show us that I can do that. He can do this. Okay, this is the reason for this verse. There's only one reason for this verse, to prove to us he can bring something out of nothing. Look, if you will, at Hebrews 11:3, the next verse. You need to understand. God said, understand chapters 1 through 10. Understand what it means to trust in me. I can do whatever I say. And you, the unseen, I will bring where you can see it. Hebrews 11:3, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was made out of what was invisible. Out of nothing, he made something. And he goes, I can take care of your problem. He said, you know, I kind of pulled this universe thing off. You know? And I kind of, you know, out of physical objects, he brought forth life. That's impossible. You can't do that. You can't bring physical out of nothing. Oh, he did it. And you can't bring life out of dead physical. Well, he did it. See? And I'm trying to show you what the ancients believed in. They expected me. They had an assurance of me, you know, that I could do the unseen. Well, God, how do we know? Because out of nothing, I made all of creation. And out of nothing, I brought forth life. That's how you know. That's how I work. That's faith. And you can only have that faith if you understand chapters 1 through 10 or some connection of it. When I was talking to my dad, and like I said, you know, it, not to get into that conversation, but the one that God gave me and had to do with horses and cows. You should, it's a great story, I have to tell you. But this horses and cows and good riders and bad riders and people shouldn't know who be on your horse that aren't. Oh, can you believe this? I explained the gospel with this. So that was his Hebrews 1 through 10 with cows and horses. So I did explain. I spent that time, you know. And what I got out of it, you know, believed what you told me. If I just have faith, hey, sit down, have faith in Jesus. Trust him, Dad. Not happening. But after I did his specialized Hebrews 1 through 10, you know, he said, I believed what you told me. See, so we understand, so God is, do you see how much God's telling us right here? What he's telling us. How can, God, you're asking me to trust the unseen. I mean, how can you do that? How can you live that way? How can you orchestrate your life that way? He said, well, I'll show you. Look what I did. Top that. No universe. See, we all think, well, the earth, no universe spoke. No life spoke. I made something out of nothing. Trust that, because that's faith. I make something out of nothing. See, God is supreme. And in the beginning, there was absolutely nothing. But God, when he spoke, the physical came forth. Then he spoke again and brought forth life where there was not life. That's Genesis 1:3. God said and brought something from nothing. So what are you doing? How does he do that? Said it. He said it. He said it. Now, and this is so reinforced. I mean, I could take forever on this. And this is so reinforced all through the Old Testament and everything, you know, about a God's creative power and bringing something out of nothing. You know, here he's talking to Isaiah, and he to get his point across, listen to what he says. When he's speaking to Isaiah, Isaiah 44:24 says this, "Thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer." In case you wonder who he's talking to, is Jesus your Redeemer? Okay. He's talking to you. Listen, thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, who formed you from the womb. I thought I was an accident. Nobody wanted me. I have no purpose in this life. Who told you that? There's no capacity to have life unless I'm in it. See, thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, who formed you from the womb. I am the Lord. See, that's the issue. That's the issue with our faith, is we don't believe that. See, I formed you out of the womb. I am the Lord who made all things, who alone, didn't have any help, who alone stretched out the heavens, who spread out the earth by myself. By myself. I don't need you either. By myself. Like that. See, but you see what he said. And by the way, this isn't only scripture. I mean, you just go on and on. He always said, Jeremiah has more of them, than any Old Testament book, just like this. This means that any promise God makes to us, we have the assurance that he will bring it to pass, even if we can't see it at the present time. Oh, just show me. Not happening. Not happening. You got to believe it. You got to believe it now. Therefore, we have faith and believe God now in the present. Now, do you see how he's folding this? And we see it in the rest of Hebrews 11. He's folding all this, and he brings it right now to us. Our life, the way we live, right this second. Well, if they were here, if no... I'm here with you, and this is how I work. This is how I work. See, we have, again, like I said, Abraham, throughout Scripture, is identified as the man of faith. See, and, you know, some people talk about Abraham, and they'll say, but he really messed up. Yeah, he messed up, you know. But that's not why Abraham's a man of faith. He didn't mess up. I mean, you want to talk about messing up? Big messing up? David. I mean, David. Lordy be. David. What are you thinking, man? Yeah. What are you doing? But David had the same quality that Abraham had. Same quality. The same quality they were judged by. Not what they did. The same quality they were judged for is they believed God. You know what he said about David? About said David? You're a man after my own heart. What? Because he did everything right? No, because he believed God. Didn't do everything, but he believed God. You see, Abraham believed God. And our faith is just like Abraham. So you think, oh my goodness. So what did Abraham do? He believed God. Amen? Now I want you to, I'm going to center everything here on this verse. I want you to prepare yourself for this verse. I want you to, before I read this verse, I want you to think about everything God has told us in Hebrews 1 through 10 and what he's told us about faith, of what he can do and how we're to trust him when he shows us. It's not based on nothing. It's based on what he told us. It's what he told us. And sometimes, and I want to bring out the personal part about that, what he tells us individually. Did you know he tells us different things? He tells us things. So this is based on what God's telling you, and you can't see it. You can't see it right now. But let's get out of here. In your own mind, have your own can't see. All right? Your own can't see. You can't see it. But I feel like God's showing me this. Okay? This is today. This is to every one of you. All right? We know the God of creation. Amen. Abraham. Look at it. He believed God. You ready? You ready? You circled. Okay. Romans, the book of faith, especially 4 through 8, the book of faith. Romans, Paul says this. He knows this. He says this. He believes this. Look at Romans 4:17. Believe God who gives life to the dead and calls into the existence the things that do not exist. Nothing's changed. Not one crying thing has changed in the whole Bible from the time of Abraham. In fact, Paul, trying to get the point across, quotes Abraham. He said, listen, you got to have faith. You got to believe. That's what he's talking about, faith. You got to believe. And what you believe what? In your hard work, you're grunting when you pray, and you know, you're going to fast for 6 years or something, you know. He said, no, that's not how it works. And you can hear my sarcasm there. But I'm making the point, you can't skip Jesus. You can't skip Jesus. You can't skip walking and talking with Jesus. You can't. See, and what he's telling you here, what the Apostle Paul is saying, the minister of the faith, of the gospel, of faith, you know, is the Apostle Paul. And, you know, and it says there, you know, it says it's in context, it's saying there, believe God. Why? 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 Who gives life to the dead? I can do anything. Hebrews 11:3 says, I showed you, I created everything. And nothing. I created it. See, believe God who gives life to the dead and calls into existence. How can that ever happen? How can it ever come? He said, God just said, watch this. Watch this. Hey, come here. Done deal. All he has to do is speak the word. Speak the word. See, God who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. Now, you have Romans 1 through 3. I mean, there's context to that verse also. But so what? Where does that leave us? Why are we bringing all this? Is God says, what God is doing to us, he says, I'm trying to tell you something. This is what God's doing. I'm not trying to judge you. Oh, you messed up. I mean, if the church was full of people who didn't mess up, there'd nobody in the church. Nobody, right? You know, maybe me. Maybe I don't. No, I don't think so. Based on what I just said, it wouldn't be there. But there wouldn't be, you know what else? There wouldn't be anybody in the Bible. Tell me one person in the Bible that didn't mess up other than Jesus. One person that didn't mess up, you know. And of all things, he calls David a man after his own heart. I mean, he was the king of mess up. I mean, what are you doing? You know, man, he loved me, though. He believed me when I spoke. Didn't do a lot of it, but he believed me when I spoke. See, a man after my own heart. So what we have here is God, and this is, I really believe this, God is begging us to believe him now. He's begging us to believe. He said, I'm going to speak to you in your life. Be careful about people who get a word for you. Be careful, okay? God wants to get you a big word, he'll tell you. See, and so be real careful. I'm not saying that doesn't happen. I've been encouraged by people and stuff like that. But you assess that. What's he telling you? He speaks, and he wants to speak to you. He wants to. That's what we learned last week. You know, he desires to be gracious to you. He He just says, he said, just wait in quietness. I desire to be gracious with you so I can exalt myself. Oh, I'm begging you to believe what I say. Believe what I tell you. Now, this goes for like you reading the Bible. How many of you read the Bible and something go through and the verse just go, whoa. He spoke to you. But I don't see that happening. Not supposed to. You're supposed to believe me. Supposed to believe me, okay? And you read the scripture and he speaks to you. He speaks to you, you know, through the Holy Spirit. He speaks to you through all sorts of things. But he brings it to mind so that you can share. I want to just add to a point, just a point, you know, and I shared it last week. And I think it was Isaiah 30:18. And I shared it with you where the Lord says, in quietness and trust, you know, we wait on him. And, you know, he desires to be gracious and exalt himself. You know, I'm just going to say as an example, I believe the Lord spoke that to me. Because that has nothing to do with my study in Hebrews for these messages. It had nothing to do with that. I pick up, I'm reading through Isaiah, you know, and I'm struggling with this. And God says, and it was just like one of those, thump, this is what I'm saying. And it's like, gosh, that fits really well. It really fits well. And I joked with you about, like, I put a star by it, you know, and there's a star by it and stuff like that. But I don't ever remember reading it. See? Yeah, you ever done that? Read the Bible and you said, I never read this before. You know, well, that was one of those verses. And I'm thinking, gosh, that was a good verse. And I even put a star by it one day, you know. But what I'm saying, and only there's only one, he's done it to every one of you. All I'm saying, God speaks to you today. God directs you. How many of you ever walked into a situation, you came in, and for no reason, you go, I don't belong here. I don't know what's, I don't, everything's fine. I don't belong here. God spoke to you. It's unseen. It's unseen. And you go, all right, love you, but no. Or you walk into the thing, ever walked in a situation that was like just cruddy, you know, like God told you to go in or something, you feel like you're doing it, and just cruddy, and you feel like just like the waves part, and you have something to say, and you feel like there's a reason that you're there. You have, but everything's wrong about it, you know. But you feel real comfortable being there. See, God goes, "This is where I had you. I need you to speak here." See, so he speaks through the Holy Spirit. He guides us, but he guides us primarily through the Word of God. And the more we're in the Word of God, he has more to work with, you know. See, because it says, "Renew your mind," you know. So I can. Have you ever been in a situation and it happened and it reminded you of scripture and said, I didn't know that. And you look at it and says, wow. And he says, so he said, renew your mind because your mind, you're so thick you can't hear what the Holy Spirit's saying. I hate to tell you that. Or maybe it's just me. Just so thick the Holy Spirit will prompt me. What are you talking about? And it makes no sense. That makes no sense. Well, if you renew your mind is more pliable to the, wait a minute, I think something's happening here. It's a little more pliable. Then you see, and you go, I don't know why the guy did that, you know, and you're standing, you read the Bible, and he goes, oh my God, that's what he's doing. Oh, I wish my mind was in sync with the Spirit more. See? People talk about how kids do well. Say, oh, you know, my kid came to the Lord, he's 5 years old, and he's baptized in the Holy Spirit, like that, you know. You know, I mean, he's going to tear your house up and you're going to keep him out of the traffic and he's going to, you know, just drive you nuts. I don't care what he's full of. See? Right? Because there's no mind. That mind hadn't been renewed. It hadn't have capacity to receive. You see what I'm saying? So we're the same way. We renew our mind and we have a greater capacity to receive. See, it all, he's trying to tell us all this stuff to help us so he can do through us what he wants to do. See, through us. Like when you're talking to somebody, you need to listen to what they're saying because you can hear what God's doing through them. before you just jump in. Well, you do this, believe God, trust God, and you're all everybody be healthy and wealthy and wise, you know. And I'm being exaggerated, but you hear that. You hear, no, you have to come down. And where are they? Hear where they are, what's going on. And then you'll see what God's doing with them. And then you can step in and cooperate with God so they can hear it. So they can hear. You see what I'm saying? And again, the perfect is how if you have a kid, 5-year-old, 10-year-old, and 20-year-old. You talk to them different. I don't care what they're full of. All right? And we'll just assume the Holy Spirit. And all three be full of the Holy Spirit. I think it's something else. But you have to figure out where they are so you can talk to them. So you can cooperate with the Holy Spirit, what he's telling you. You see what I'm saying? This is all this is. This is right. But go back to Romans 4:17. Meditate on. He says, it's God who gives life to the dead. That's how he works. He's talking to us. And he calls into existence things that do not exist. Do not exist. This is a promise for each of us today. God is begging us to hear him and listen to him. And again, Abraham is our example. 90 years old, no kids, looks at the star and says, your offspring will be like all the stars. All right. You say so. See, that's the faith in your life. And he will show you things. I think he's already shown you things. You know, he'll show you the impossible. Now, don't step in the impossible. Watch me do the impossible. It's like, we don't want to be in that train wreck. Okay. But what is God telling you? And you take a step and discern. Take a step and discern. And if you can come across and put your arm around somebody, take a step with them and discern. Take a step with them and discern. See, you walk with them. You walk with them. I was talking to the guys the other day. You know, anybody comes to me and say, God told me. And in my mind, I make the sign of the cross and say, he ain't tell you nothing. Why you say that, Wallace? Because if God told him, they wouldn't come to me and say, God told me. They wouldn't say that. He wouldn't say that, you know. And then also, when you have like, God told me, there is a background and a history and a capacity to hear and to walk something through. See what I'm saying? There's no instantaneous flashes in the Christian life. It's a work of faith. That's the reason he doesn't tell us exactly what to do immediately. He takes us through things to teach us and to disciple us so then we have the capacity to fulfill what he's saying. So he shows us one step at a time. You see what I'm saying? Anyway, this is what he's saying. But we have total faith based on Romans 4:17. Today for each of you, and as you obey each step along the way, he'll speak to you more and more and more and more. Faith is standing on the word of God, expecting God to do what he said he would do, and he will do it even if we can't presently see us. Through Jesus, we believe God who gives life to the dead and calls into existence things that do not exist. We believe God not only for salvation, but also our own earth situations. He's telling us, Hebrews 1:3, we're secure in heaven. You know what the Lord's Prayer says? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth. So how you trust for your forgiveness, you trust on earth. And you have the same hope, the same confidence, and the same assurance that God would do what he said he would do. And we just follow, because we're assured. We have assurance. Verse 1, we have assurance. We have confidence. We have confidence. So, and we have in chapter 11, and we'll see multiple examples. That's not for there. That's for us. It's for us. And so, here we are. We have this powerful position with God through Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Here's the summation. Hebrews 11, 2 Corinthians 5:21. For our sake, what? for our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, that in him we might be the righteousness of God. As right as God. As right as God. Meaning we can do what God tells us to do. We just need to hear it and act on it. And again, I'm going to throw this out there. I know what can. Well, I messed up, so it's not going to work. Oh, I messed up. He can't work with me. He messed up like that. I just go back to David. God bless David. Of all the people in the Bible to be called a man after his own heart. Of all people. But he loved God. He just messed up a lot. He messed. And as a couple of things with Sarah and Abraham, I'm thinking, you gotta be kidding me. I mean, we got marriage counseling courses that walk people through what y'all did. You know. And they're in the lineage of faith here. Both Abraham and Sarah. Yeah, they believe in me. But my God, Jesus, what a mess up. What a mess up. But what does that prove? Us. It's like, yeah, you fit right in, Wallace. Right there. You fit in. And don't laugh at me. Y'all do too. Y'all do too. You just fit in. God says, yeah, I saved you in spite of yourself. In spite of yourself. I need you to believe me. That's what makes you special. You believe me. That's what makes you special, is that you believe me. Wallace, my dad said, I believed what you told me. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you about this. Just this whole section on faith and what faith means. And Lord, too, faith has substance to it. Faith has substance to it. It has a substance that you're going to bring about, a substance that you're going to work. We're not here by ourselves. You're going to bring substance when we trust in you, when we believe on you and step out. You're going to fulfill what you say. You're going to bring that substance into our life. And so we thank you for that. And you're excited about it. Like we learned last week, he's just excited. He desires to be gracious to us so he can exalt himself. It's a want to, and he just wants to us. Just believe me. He said, just believe me. Believe what I show you. Not what somebody else, what I show you. Believe what I show you. Not what somebody else said. Believe what I show you. And so, God, we just thank you, and we praise your holy name. And it really is truly a miracle that any of us are standing here before you today. So we give thanks to you, God, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.